The Abbott government has suffered one of its biggest setbacks in the Senate with the defeat last night of legislation cutting university funding and uncapping student fees. But the Education Minister, Christopher Pyne, is not giving up the fight. Today he will introduce a revised higher education bill into the lower house. It'll be debated when Parliament returns next year.
And those of you who think that the government is going to now give up on this reform, you don't have to worry. We certainly won't be giving up on this reform. As Churchill said in 1940, some people think this is the beginning of the end. It is the end of the beginning.
Yeah. The end of the beginning. Round one is over, round two begins. Christopher Pyne in a Churchillian mood with Universities Australia at a gathering last night after the bill was voted down. Labor, the Greens and four of the eight crossbenchers combined to knock off the higher ed changes in the Senate last night. Penny Wong is the leader of the opposition in the Senate. She's in our Parliament House studios. Senator Wong, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good to be with you again, Fran.
Now, the Minister says great reform takes time and this bill is not dead and buried, that's for sure. It will come back into the Senate in February for another vote. What will Labor do then?
Well, if he wants some great reform passed, then perhaps he should put forward some great reform, but he's not doing that. He's putting forward in this next bill a bill that contains, as on his own assessment, 9 out of 10 of the elements of the bill that's just being comprehensively rejected by the Senate, and not only by the Senate, I think by the community. People don't support what this government is seeking to do on higher education. That's why the Senate comprehensively voted down that legislation, and perhaps instead of trying to pretend he's Churchill, Christopher Pyne might actually try to go back to the drawing board and come up with a package that is more fair and doesn't involve, at its heart, a cut to university funding for per student place.
Well, what he has said is, he will come back with a bill that's more fair because he's agreeing to write into it some of the concessions he made in the final hours of the debate. Those HECS student debts, their interest rate will remain linked to CPI, so they won't be lifted to the bond rate. There'll be a 5-year repayment pause on HECS debts for new parents. There'll be a university transition fund. There'll be a role for the ACCC to make sure there's no price gouging. So that's making it more fair.
Oh, well, look, I think the heart of this bill is a reduction in funding to universities, and at the heart of this bill is deregulation, which will lead to higher costs, $100,000 degrees. And at the heart of this bill is a set of values I think Australians don't share, and that is to make higher education less accessible, less affordable. I don't think this is a policy that Australians support, and I think Christopher Pyne really is pressing forward with an agenda which at its heart is about unfairness. I don't think education should be treated in the way this government is treating it.
As designed, you're right in one sense that this bill was designed to save or would have saved the government a significant amount of money from the budget bottom line. If they do away with that cut, if they take away that 20% cut to university funding, would Labor support the bill? If it had deregulation?
Look, Bill Shorten has made very clear we don't support $100,000 degrees. We don't. And I think nor do most Australians. I think most Australians understand the importance of education. Australians understand that they don't want their children saddled with crippling debts. They want people to be able to aspire to a higher education degree. They're not values that Christopher Pyne and Tony Abbott apparently share.
How would Labor address the structural problems facing the sector? All the university vice chancellors, almost all bar one, have been coming out saying we have a problem. Labor introduced a demand-driven model with uncapped university places, so many more students at university, which is a good thing, everyone agrees, but the funding doesn't match it. That's a recipe, they say, for declining education standards.
Well,
what are you going to do about that mismatch?
Well, we're not in government, but what I would say is this. Labor's reforms ensured more Australians could get to university and, very importantly, more young people from families where they were the first person to go to university. That's what our reforms meant. Now, I'm sure you'll see our approach to higher education well before the next election, but we're not going to be signing up to the Abbott government's agenda, which is all about making higher education less accessible for so many Australians. That's the heart of Christopher Pyne's policies. And no amount of tinkering around the edges and knocking off some of the most egregious aspects of this legislation will make it fair.
Well, in terms of what we might see from Labor before the next election, I'm sure you will have to have a policy. But if this does get through the Senate in February, if it is passed and is operating, it'd be impossible to unwind this reform, wouldn't it?
deregulation? Well, my focus as leader in the Senate will be just as it was yesterday, which is to oppose these reforms and to work very hard with the crossbench to ensure they don't pass. The government didn't go to the election telling Australians they were going to massively increase the cost of degrees. The government didn't go to the election telling people that they would saddle our young Australians with crippling debts. The government didn't say to people we're going to make higher education less accessible. Yesterday, the Senate voted against these reforms, and I'd have to say, you remember, we this was on the second reading of the bill, and you'd have to say a couple of the crossbenchers who voted with the government on that articulated that they were voting to continue debate, not that they were supporting the legislation. So right. I think Christopher Pyne needs to recognise the opposition in the Senate, which is grounded in a very deep opposition within the Australian community.
Can I talk to you about working with the crossbench? Because earlier we heard from Glenn Lazarus. He was critical of the government's negotiating style. Talked yesterday about Christopher Pyne inundating him, harassing him with SMS messages. What's your approach to dealing with the crossbenchers?
Look. I think you have to approach the crossbenchers respectfully. You have to also recognise the constraints under which they're working. I mean, they don't have departments advising them. They don't have a large number of staff. They're trying to assess legislation as it comes forward, and it's not helped by the fact, and I think Senator Lazarus referenced this, it's not helped by the fact that the government keeps changing its mind about what it wants to bring on. The chaos that is in the Senate is lies at the feet of the government. And we even had the most bizarre spectacle yesterday of the government filibustering, that is adding speakers to extend the debate on the higher education legislation after they had told us they wanted it to come to a vote. We moved a motion to get the vote on and they voted it down. I mean, this is just a chaotic approach to Senate management, not helped by the way some of the crossbenchers feel that they've been treated in a high-handed manner by some of the government senators.
It's 16 to 8 on Breakfast. Our guest is the opposition leader in the Senate and Shadow Minister for Trade and Investment, Penny Wong. Penny Wong, by voting this bill down, that punches another $5 billion hole in the short term in the government's budget. All up, there's still about $28 billion worth of budget measures yet to be legislated. The government is also facing the revenue shortfalls, the same sort of pattern of revenue write-downs that Labor in government dealt with. Do you have some sympathy for them? How would the budget outlook be any different now, do you think, if Labor was in government?
Well, do you remember, Fran, how Joe Hockey used to say to everybody every time that there was a revenue downgrade under the Labor government that it was all the Treasurer and the Finance Minister's fault, it was all our fault? Well, if he applies the same standard, then any revenue downgrade, any change to his figures when he releases his mini-budget, that's on his head. That is on his head by the own standards that he has set. What I would say is that we have passed a great many government savings. What we are not going to do is agree to savings which hurt Australians and which are predicated on broken promises.
But just to finish on this, there was a report this week from Deloitte Access Economics forecasting another $35 billion will be wiped off the budget bottom line over 4 years. The outgoing Treasury Secretary, Martin Parkinson, who Labor appointed, is warning of 10 years of budget deficits, is calling for urgent reforms to lift productivity and for the Senate to allow the government to get on with things. Is Labor the only player that doesn't recognise this budget's in trouble?
No, look, we do understand the importance of ensuring you make structural saves to the budget. I mean, for example, the private health insurance rebate, our reforms to that program ensured we saw savings out of one of the fastest growing items of expenditure in the federal budget. But I don't think the need for budget savings justifies broken promises from a Prime Minister who tell people very clearly no cuts to health, no cuts to education, no changes to the pension. I mean, and no cuts to the ABC, as we well know. And nor should the Senate, and nor will Labor nor will we countenance broken promises being passed through the Senate. I don't think your listeners would expect us to, Fran. I mean, I think your listeners would expect us to hold the government to account and to stand up for the values we believe in, and that's what we're doing.
Senator Wong, thank you very much for joining us.
Good to speak with you.
Senator Penny Wong, the leader of the opposition in the Senate. She's also the Shadow Minister for Trade and Investment.